Johnny Dollar.
Well, hiya, George. I've been wondering when you were going to come up with another wild one for me.
That is not the case this time, John.
John?
Tell me, how is your, well, have you had a security clearance lately?
Well, sure, in connection with that rocket fuel case I handled.
Good.
But, now, what's this all about?
Well, I can hardly discuss it with you over the phone.
Oh, top secret, huh?
Top secret, and of tremendous importance.
Okay, George, I'll run over and see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar. To Floyd's of England, North American office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the missing missile matter. When George Reed starts calling me John, well, it must be pretty important. So expense account item one, $1.25 for a taxi over to the square in the office of Floyd's of England.
We'll use this rather isolated office in the back so as not to be disturbed.
Yeah, okay.
Or overheard. Now, if I seem to be somewhat vague about this whole thing, I assure you it's only because of my own rather limited knowledge of... Well, sit down, Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can hardly expect me to investigate something unless I know what it's all about.
Well, John, out on the West Coast...
Oh, come off this John stuff, will you?
I'm sorry, Johnny. But now listen.
Yeah, shoot.
Out near Los Angeles, in North Hollywood to be exact, is a small plant that operates as the Smithwick Paint Remover Company.
What's so all-fired mysterious about that?
Not one drop of anything even faintly resembling paint remover has ever been put out by them.
Huh?
Actually, that name is only a blind, a cover-up.
Yeah? For what?
An outfit that might better be called the Smithwick Missile Development Company.
Mm. Government stuff, huh?
Johnny, they have no official connection with our government whatsoever.
But unofficially?
That's the sort of question we never ask. So far as anyone knows, our government simply doesn't recognize them, gives them no support, financial or otherwise.
So far as anyone knows.
Which means they receive no protection from Uncle Sam either.
So Floyd's of England writes the insurance?
Precisely. Under orders from our top brass.
Well, what's happened out there? What's the trouble?
Johnny, it appears from what Smithwick told me on the phone that one of their missiles is missing.
Oh, well then I... What?
Yes.
Oh, now look, George, I heard of a guy who mislaid a bass drum once and somebody who had an elephant stolen.
Johnny.
Oh, one of those missiles? Oh, wait. Hey, maybe he was talking about one that got lost in outer space. But then why send for me?
They have nothing whatsoever to do with the firing of those things.
But don't you? A small plant out there, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, then it simply doesn't make sense. Now, George,
Johnny,
why don't you...
all I know is what Dr. Smithwick told me over the phone. I agreed to have you go out there immediately. He'll be waiting for you there whenever you get there. Well?
Okay, George, whatever you say. Expense account item two, $8 for a plane to New York. Item three, $176.25 for a 707 to Los Angeles. I arrived about 6 p.m. Pacific time. Item four, $50 deposit on a rental car, and I drove to North Hollywood, to the so-called Smithwick Paint Remover Company. As I walked into the reception room at the front, a good-looking blonde hurriedly closed the door in back of her that led to a huge room full of desks and drawing boards, but no people.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my name is Dollar, Johnny Dollar, and I'm here...
Johnny Dollar, the insurance investigator? My name's Gloria, Johnny. Gloria Snowden.
Miss Snowden?
Well, you just call me Gloria, huh?
Why not? But look, I've come to see Dr. Smithwick. He...
Oh, that's too bad, Johnny. He isn't here.
What?
Well, he left very suddenly late this morning for Washington or someplace, I guess.
Well, now, that's funny. After asking
he
for
asked
me to
be sure and stay here until you came, and... Dear, I knew it was really going to be you, Johnny. He just said Mr. Dye would be arriving. But anyhow, when he makes these sudden trips, he's always back here first thing in the morning, and I'm sure he wants to see you.
So am I. Funny, though.
What? What, Johnny?
Well, I suppose I'd better get something to eat and find myself a place to sleep.
Oh, gee, I'm hungry, too. And it's all your fault, Johnny, because I had to wait around for you.
Well, then the least I can do is take you out to dinner, okay?
Oh, gee, yeah. And I'm free all evening, too, John.
Great. We'll do the town. Now, is there a hotel or a motel around here where I can hang my hat?
Oh, gee, I don't... Well, there's the Paradise Motel over on North Sherman Way. It's kind of a smallish place.
Oh, North Sherman Way.
1131.
Then just let me drop off my luggage, shower and shave, and I'll pick you up. Where do you live, Gloria?
Oh, I'll just wait here for you. I have a couple of things I ought to do before I leave.
Okay, whatever you say.
And you don't mind? Taking me to dinner, I mean?
Are you kidding? Funny. All this big emergency, all this hurry. The man who'd sent for me was off somewhere else. I should have asked for directions because it was over half an hour before I finally found the Paradise Motel. It was hardly the place I would have picked, but oh well.
Yeah, here you are, Mr. Dollar, number 7.
Okay.
This be satisfactory?
Yeah, sure.
Because if it ain't, I got other vacancies.
No, this'll be all right.
Uh-huh. Anything you want, I'll be in the office.
Well, I could sure use a few ice cubes.
Oh, brought your own jug, huh? Have them for you in a jiffy.
Good. Now, let's see. Yeah, shirts will go in here, I guess. Huh? That's about the fastest service I ever heard of. Mister, you certainly don't waste any... Hello? Somebody out here looking for...
What was that noise? You been hurt? Then that was shots I heard.
Mr. Dollar? Whoever fired him was a pretty lousy shot, thank heaven.
Oh, then you're okay? You mean he missed you?
Oh, how do you know that wasn't just a backfire you heard?
Backfire?
Yeah, from some passing car.
Well, don't you tell me that
wait,
is any backfire.
Wait a minute. He, did you say?
Well, yeah.
Well, did you see him? Get a look at him.
Well, no, I was in back at the ice machine.
So he could have gone into the office to look up my room number.
I heard the noise and that car pulling away, and I just come running.
Yeah, that car must have been waiting around the other side of this motel. Now, look, mister, what'd you say your name is?
Barnwell. Jed Barnwell. And, Mr. Dollar, I'm going to call the police.
No, don't.
Huh? Well, I realize you're a special investigator, some kind of...
That's right. And I don't want you to call the police in on this. Not yet.
But now, look...
That's an order.
You got the authority?
Not only that, but look, I want to rent another room from you.
Oh, you mean you'll pay for both of them?
That's right. You have another vacancy?
Well, if you want the truth, you're the only guest I got tonight.
I can understand that.
So you take care of whichever unit you want, and I'll sign you into it.
No, just let my name appear on the register for this one. Then you toddle off to bed and forget about me.
Well,
oh, and here. Here's a 5 spot for getting me the key to the one next door, number 8.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, Mr. Dollar. And you still want them ice cubes?
Brother, I sure do. I left one handbag and its contents in number 7. Then I sat quietly in the darkness of my own room and waited. But I suddenly remembered my dinner date with Gloria Snowden, so I jumped into my car and drove back to the missile development plant. The place was dark. I drove to a corner drugstore, to a phone booth, and looked for Gloria's name in the directory. It wasn't. So, back to the motel. In number 7, the room registered to my name. The door was still locked. I went back to number 8 and sat there trying to think this thing out. Huh? I doused the light, pulled my gun out of the holster, and sneaked quietly to one side of the door frame.
Mr. Dollar? Mr. Dollar, I saw your lights go out. I hate to disturb you at this time of night.
Yeah? Who is it?
My name's Bob McKinney.
McKinney?
That's right.
That sounds familiar.
Well, I used to work for CBS Radio, and, well, I used to handle that program dramatizing your insurance case.
Oh.
I want to talk to you. It's important.
All right, come in, Bob. Hey, what's in that box?
It's a tape recorder, kind of a special one. When old Jed Barnwell, he's a kind of a gabby old guy.
Yeah, he sure is.
Well, when he told me you were staying here, well, Johnny, I figured I'd better get to you and tell you about that.
About what, Bob?
About some code signals I have here on tape. I picked them up about an hour ago.
Morse code signals?
Yeah, international code. It's like this, Johnny. I had my own amateur license, W6VFG, and I fooled around with a lot of high-frequency experiments.
So?
Well, I got a couple of wires crossed on my receiver. It took me to a frequency that isn't even supposed to be on the air anywhere.
Yeah?
I started hearing what I thought was a high whistle. It was so high, it was barely audible, like an oscillator note, a continuous squeal. Only it broke off now and then.
Well, now, Bob, in spite of finding a key myself a long time ago, I'm afraid this is a little outside my...
Wait, Johnny. I've also been experimenting with this tape recorder, running the tape and recording it about 5 feet a second instead of 7.5 inches a second.
Yeah, well,
excuse me, but listen, please.
Okay, listen.
I recorded that squeak, running the tape real fast, and then I played it back slowly. You know what it was, Johnny?
All right.
It was ultra-high-speed transmission, code transmission.
Oh?
And when I played it back as slowly as I could, so I could read it, will you listen to it? I've got a variable speed on this. Can you read international code?
Go ahead, Bob. Turn it on.
Yeah.
Oh, can't you slow it down a bit?
Maybe by homeless mess on the reel.
Wait a minute. Listen to that.
That's what I mean, Johnny. It's legitimate code, all right, only... Well, have you any idea what language that is?
I certainly have.
Well, what?
Whatever that message is. Well, it wasn't intended for anybody this side of the Iron Curtain.
And did you understand just, well, maybe a couple of words?
Yeah. Now, look, have you any way of telling where that signal comes from?
Well, it was mighty powerful, like it was real nearby.
Ultra-high-speed transmission.
And on a frequency that nobody in the world's supposed to be using.
Bob, if there was some way to spot that transmitter, if we could only...
Kenny McManus.
What?
If I can rig that direction finder, Kenny's, to my receiver, when it's rigged to catch a signal...
Then do it. Get hold of McManus and his direction finder and trace down the source of that signal. Meantime, leave this tape recorder with me. I'm going to round me up an interpreter.
Then you caught those two familiar words in that message.
My name.
That's right, they were. Johnny Dollar.
Two familiar words in that high-speed code message that Bob McKenney had intercepted. So high-speed, it sounded like a continuous squeal. Until we played back the recording slowly and recognized it for what it really was. A secret message in that foreign language. Those two words were my own name, Johnny Dollar. My one good police contact here on the West Coast was Lieutenant Harry Golden of the Homicide Squad. Sure, it was out of his line, it was the middle of the night, but he rounded up Alan Orloff, an interpreter, sent him over to see me. It was nearly 8 a.m. by the time I transcribed the code message. And then when Orloff finished translating it...
Mr. Dollar, do you see what this means?
I certainly do, Orloff.
But not only the threat against you, sir, because you are working on this very case.
I know.
But the sender of this message has somehow got hold of secret plans for a missile, a space rocket.
Orloff.
Has copied those plans, is holding them for an agent of this other government to pick them up later on today.
Which means that somehow I've got to locate the sender of that message.
But how? And it must be done immediately before the contact with this other agent.
I know.
Then don't you see, Mr. Dollar?
Wait. Yeah? Who is it?
Bob McKenney.
Oh, Bob. What'd you find out?
Johnny, that secret transmitter's right here in North Hollywood. It's been working ever since I talked with you up until just about an hour ago. Here. Here's the address and the name of the person who owns the house.
Good.
Only the antenna must be set up in the attic or something.
What do you mean?
There's no outside antenna to show there's a transmitter working there. And, of course, using that frequency that nobody would ordinarily be able to pick up. It hadn't been for my dumb luck in receiving an ultra-high-speed transmission.
Did you record any further messages?
I got them right here on tape, on this recorder.
Good. Then while you transcribe them so Mr. Orloff can translate them, I'm going to the address you have on this... Huh?
Kind of figured the name of that sender might surprise you.
Surprise, huh? That is the understatement of the week. I'm going over to that missile development outfit. And I hope and pray Dr. Smithwick is there now.
No, perhaps I was wrong, Mr. Dollar. After all, I'm a scientist, not a file clerk. But I was certain the plans for that missile were missing from the vault just before I was hurriedly called to Washington.
Dr. Smithwick...
So contrary to our usual policy... I asked the government to send some men here to investigate. They'll probably arrive here shortly.
Doctor...
Yet now on my return, I find the plans intact in their proper place.
Oh, those plans were stolen, all right. And for the benefit of one of the big foreign powers.
What? But that could only mean that someone here in this organization...
Right. You mind if I call in your receptionist?
Gloria Snowden.
I want her in on what I have to say.
You mean to say you'd tell that stupid little girl about this?
You think I need to?
Well, Dollar, it's because of her lack of intelligence that it's safe to have her about.
Any bets? Gloria.
Yeah, Johnny?
Come in here, please.
Oh, gee, sure. Hi, Doctor.
Now, Mr. Dollar.
Doctor, Gloria was the only one beside yourself who knew I was out here, who could have arranged or carried out the attack on me last night.
Attack?
More important... She's the last one you'd suspect of being able to gain access to your vault, of taking the plans, having them copied, and preparing to turn them over to a... Well, it sounds corny, but to a foreign agent.
Are you serious?
Johnny, whatever you mean, by that?
However, having intercepted a radio message sent out from a transmitter hidden away in her home. Well, this, Doctor, is a slowed-down, intelligible tape recording of that message.
Well, I don't know what...
Well, Gloria, or whatever your real name is.
Very well, Dollar. And of course, neither of you gentlemen can be allowed to leave this office.
Gloria, that gun.
That's right. Any famous last words, Dollar?
You know, Gloria, this tape recording is the only real evidence I have against you.
What? So what?
So here. Maybe you'd like to have it.
Oh, no, you...
Mr. Dollar.
Yeah, Doctor. And maybe those G-men you sent for will keep the date she made with her contact. The one supposed to pick up those plans from her. The government boys were more than glad to take over. And I hope they can find some way to reward Bob McKinney, who really solved this case. Expense account total, including the trip back to... wait a minute. Forget it. In so good a cause, it was the least I could do. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, the most beautiful and dangerous girl I've ever known. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, G. Stanley Jones, Horace Lewis, Harry Bartell, Don Diamond, and Bartlett Robinson. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is Dan Cumberly speaking.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
And this is Radio 59 WROW.